Now back to the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7 The Game.
So high!
It is the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap here on 95.7 The Game. Sam Lumman here, Dan Devone, and it's going to be a very nostalgic, maybe even emotional weekend for Giants fans. Got some big news on Thursday that dropped at 10:01. The great Mike Kruko, after this season, is going to be calling it a career. And, yeah, Dan, that's one of those things, you try to brace for when that moment does come, but when it does still arrive, it still hits you all the same as if you didn't prepare for it. And, he's been in the booth. You know, he started calling games on the radio in 1990. He joined the TV booth in 94. And Kruk and Kipe, I mean, that's... like, that is the sound of Giants baseball for me growing up. Like, that, there is no other way to describe it. Like, when I think Giants baseball and what it sounds like, it sounds like Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko making me smile, making me laugh, making me enjoy this game, making me love this game. When you saw that news, Dan, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I think you take things, we have a tendency to take things for granted, possibly. Waxing nostalgic about how he's grown, as you have grown up with these two guys, as a whole generation of Giant fans, and they happen to be behind the mic during the dynasty run. And I think if you travel a little bit, if you work in other markets, you realize how special these guys are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not only did he have baseball sense, like, I always learn, there's few guys that I like listening to because I feel as though I'm going to learn something. And he's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you something that you didn't already know. To go along with the wit, to go along with just sort of a San Francisco fit in terms of the personality. All of these things, though, they come to an end. And he won't be replaced. Vin Scully wasn't replaced. Sorry, he's a Dodger. But
I respect Vin Scully.
Yeah, there's just, you know, that it's one of those things that when it's taking place, just enjoy it. You know, kind of like when the Warriors were doing their thing, that this is a once in a life. It's one of those lightning bolts.
You're not recreating it, yes.
Lightning bolts that comes through life. Just jump on for a little bit. Go nuts for 5, 6, 10, however long, 15, 20 years, because you're never going to replicate this. And it was just so special on so many different levels.
Yeah, no, when I think of those two, and again, it's Kruko's the one retiring, but you can't have one without the other. They are synonymous with each other. There is a, you know, a Statler and Waldorf almost kind of quality to them, except instead of ragging on the team, they're just joking around, having a great time up in that booth. But like Mike Kruko, along with Dwayne Kuiper, again, as I mentioned, Dan, they are the sound of Giants baseball to me. I grew up with them on my TV. They are a big, big reason why I fell in love with this team. They're a big reason why I love this team so much that I made a career out of covering them and following them and being around that ballpark and being around that team. And they just, even just the way they talked about the game, as you said, you feel like you learned something listening to them. For me, like, they influence how I talk about the game. You know, like, no one says gamer at all if it weren't for Mike Kruko saying, oh, that guy's a gamer. Like, he influenced how Giants fans talked about this game. He influenced how Giants fans thought about this game.
Yeah.
He influenced how Giants fans, you know, took in this game. And that he just, they almost had like a cult following, in a sense, in terms of just how beloved they were. And I can't say, like, they're a big reason why Giants baseball was so great for me growing up. They made those broadcasts entertaining. You know, I'd be sitting in the living room with my dad, and, you know, we'd sometimes play this game because we've watched those guys so much. You learn their mannerisms, the Krukoisms, as he would have. And my dad and I, we'd try and predict, like, what are they going to say next? You know, is it going to be ownage, zonage? Is it going to be grab some pine meat, stuff like that? And that was always so fun to play because it's like they became characters you just became engrossed with. And so it's going to be weird not seeing them together. And I think my favorite thing that they ever did together, Dan, I don't remember this, but there was a time where they would do eliminating people where, like, they'd show a fan on the screen and they'd be like, oh, look at this guy. He's wearing a Dodger hat. And they use a telestrator and kind of eliminate him from the broadcast or whatever and, you know, just squiggle white lines over him. I love that stuff. You've always said, you know, we've talked about bringing a glove to a game. You know, I know you're not a bring a glove to a game guy. You want to know why I'm a bring a glove to a game guy, Dan? Because the amount of games I've watched where a foul ball clanked off some guy's hands and Kruko's like, oh, you should have brought your glove. Eliminate. It's like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want my Kruko to eliminate me on TV because I dropped a foul ball. That's why I bring a glove to a game. Mike Kruko is the reason why I bring a glove to a game. That is how far their reach and their influence goes.
Are you still bringing a glove?
Oh, of course.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't want to get eliminated, even if they're not in the booth. It's just, it's the principle of the matter. Like, when you have broadcasters that influence how you go about as a fan, how you talk as a fan, how you think and root as a fan, that just shows the reach that those two had into our souls as Giants fans. And it's going to be tough with them not together.
A lot of it is when it comes to play-by-play and broadcasters is he's got the catchphrases. As I mentioned, he's got remarkable insight. He's funny. But it's personality at the end of the day. It's just people that you want to be with, people that you enjoy listening to. And those two guys are just, they sound like two guys. And I guarantee you that when they do a broadcast, this is the way they want you to feel. Like you're just listening to two guys who know the sport going mm-hmm. back and forth and talking about the game as if we weren't even, as if, you know, they weren't on TV or their mics weren't live.
Yeah, it's there's just two guys at the bar.
Yeah, two guys who know the game and also are funny as hell and people you want to listen to, you want to be around. And you can't say that, I'd say, for 95% of the broadcasts. I would say, though, Pasa, and I look at you because you probably, you know, I spent a lot of time in New York, and I would say, not even a close second, but now it's Gary Cohn and, of course, Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez, who maybe a notch or two notches below. But it's very rare, is my point, where you just, not only do you find announcers that are good, but they're also, they fit into the community. And their sense of humor is sort of reflective. That like the vibe is like, yeah, you get us and mm-hmm. we get you.
Chasky kind of described it yesterday. It's like he seemed like a guy you could smoke a joint with. Like they both do. And I don't know if those guys partake in it. But like that's the vibe they gave off. They gave very Bay Area vibes. Because you know how Bay Area folk are. We're very impartial to our
I can't
own.
Imagine either one of those dudes smoking. I could see Lincecum, a guy I would smoke.
Oh, absolutely. Let him smoke.
But I'm trying to envision Mike Kruko.
I feel like Kruko's the kind of guy where you get a joint in him and you're not going to get a word in. He's just going to, I feel like he's a talker after a joint.
Gummies,
that's
at least.
That's true. He did bring up the gummies on the broadcast one time. I have that right here.
Just have it in your mind that the Dodgers are never going to lose.
Never. And then just be really shocked and surprised.
And just be happy.
Be happy. Enjoy it. Have a cocktail. Celebrate. Some popcorn. Have a gummy, whatever. Just enjoy it.
Hey, it's legal.
I think my favorite Kruk and Kipe games, Dan, are the games where the product on the field was just awful. And by awful, I mean Giants are down 10-1 in the third inning. And then Kruk and Kipe, like those were their best games. Mm. Where it's just an absolute dud on the field. They made those games watchable just because of the banter they had. You know, what? You know, maybe they see a fan yawning in the stands and Kruko does this. Or maybe they see two fans in the stands yawning, so they do this.
We've never had two go off at the same time.
It is just, he had a phrase for everything, and the phrase, my favorite was, you know, one of my favorites was grab some pine meat. And Dan, when I was at University of Miami in my senior year, I got to call some Miami baseball games.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. No, the senior year, I called, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that, baseball games my senior year. And that was one of those things, like, I got to do this before I graduate.
Was this a university station, or were you doing
Yeah, on the campus station, okay. WQAM, the voice of the University of Miami. No, WVUM. QAM is different station. WVUM. And, yeah, of course, I mean, I got to drop, you know, some Krukoisms in there. You know, I did a couple of, he hits it high, he hits it deep of Dwayne Kuiper, but there's one game I was doing with, and the guy who was calling the game with was actually my former roommate. We're doing a game together, and I forgot who was pitching, but this guy was just mowing dudes down. Strike three, grab some pine meat. Strike three. Oh, grab some pine meat. Strike three again. Oh, yeah, grab some pine meat. We go to commercial, he looks at me, all right, and enough of the grab some pine meat calls. But at the same time, like, I'm in front of a mic, I'm calling baseball games, a dude just struck out, I grew up on Mike Kruko, what, am I just not supposed to say grab some pine meat when I have that opportunity? Like,
well, you gotta find your own phrase at some point.
Oh, yeah, but no, I'm 22 years old, I have the opportunity, of course I'm going to emulate, you know, the broadcasters I grew up, that's, again, Dan,
sure,
the influence that they have. So I want to play some other Kruko stories that people have, because we've had a bunch of people the last few days call in, talk about Mike Kruko. In the next segment, Dan, at around a little after 10:30, we're going to hear from Bruce Bochy. Not live. I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. And if you follow the 95.7 The Game on our social channels, Twitter and Instagram, blah, 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 you've probably already seen this interview. I posted it yesterday. If you're not on social media, first off, good. Don't. It's awful. But two, yeah, this will be a new thing for you to hear. So that'll be coming up a little after 10:30. Hear what Bruce Bochy had to say about Mike Kruko. But I want to hear what Giants fans have to say about Mike Kruko. 888-957-9570. When I say Mike Kruko, you say what? So let's knock out some of these calls. If you got other Giants thoughts too, we can get those in as well. Giants talk, Giants thoughts, Mike Kruko. Let's go to the lines. Starting with our guy, Hank, in the East Bay. Hank, how you doing this morning, man? You're on the wrap.
Hi. Hey, guys. How you all doing?
Doing good, Hank.
Pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's been a crazy week. Freddy Krueger, Oregon Trail, Don Rickles. It's been a whirlwind. You know, I just want to say that, well, first of all, Kruko was working with the Giants before 94, because, in 93, 94, Kuiper was working for the Rockies, Dwayne Kuiper. People don't remember that.
That's a good point.
When the Rockies were starting their expansion team, they wanted a hot announcer. So they got Dwayne Kuiper.
Okay. I actually did not know that.
People don't know that. And people also don't know that the Giants have a rule, and they've had it for decades, maybe even 100 years, of no yawning. So the players aren't allowed to yawn. So I'm sure that when Kruko was doing the Tarzan, I'm sure he did that as a player. Anyway, enough with the Giants facts.
Those are interesting facts, actually, Hank. Thank you for those.
Interesting facts. I love this team, you know. I've been a fan since 89. My first game was Dave Dravecki Day.
The first one or the second one?
First game I ever went to, Dave Dravecki Day, I said, I didn't know we had Disneyland. I'm thinking that in my head, you know? It was a very, very emotional week for me.
I bet.
Yeah. But I just want to say that I think people are too tough on Devers. Me personally, when I first heard of the deal last year, May or June or whatever, I was against it because, you know, I didn't want a first base DH. I wanted maybe a shortstop or a catcher or something like that. But I've really grown to like Devers, and I just want to say that there, just like I brought up a couple points when I called in, I want to say that what people miss about Devers is when the Red Sox asked him to move from third to first and he agreed to it, what he was doing was he was basically voluntarily leaving Cooperstown.
He didn't agree to
potentially. So let me clarify again. He didn't agree to go from first base to DH. Devers agreed to go. That's why he was so upset, is because he already moved from third base to first base. So they were Jimmy Jacking him around. Pause. So the one thing I would say, though, is that third base has the least amount of Hall of Famers in Cooperstown of any position. So when Devers moved from third to first, when he agreed to it voluntarily, he was saying, I don't need Cooperstown. What an amazing guy. What an amazing guy. And if you think these players don't understand.
Wait, maybe you're right, but correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I thought he refused to play first base for the Red Sox.
Nope. He had already moved to first base, and everything was fine.
He never played first base for the Boston Red Sox. The first time he played first base was with the Giants. Sorry.
No, we lost him there. No, I think because, yeah, he did play a little bit of first base before. No, they wanted him to move. No, so what happened was, I believe, and Risotto, if you want to jump in here and correct the record at any point, he was playing third base. Bregman came in, they pissed it off. And the reason that was because they never told him that they were bringing Bregman in and moving him. That is where Rafi got pissed off at the Red Sox. That is where the Red Sox screwed up. They didn't call their star, their homegrown star, and said, hey, this is what's going down with Alex Bregman. We want to make sure you're on board. They all went behind his back and did all of this.
That's according to his team. I mean, the Red Sox, I'm sure, have a different spin.
Oh, I'm sure the Red Sox are saying they tried to reach out to him. The point is, when you're the general manager, like, you got to get a hold of your player. Like, that, there's an expectation there that you got to figure that out. It's, if it doesn't work out, then these things happen. So Rafi didn't.
Do we know for a fact that they didn't?
I don't know if we're ever going to know.
I don't know that I want to say
when the tell all comes out in 20 years and they do the 30 for 30 on him. Like,
I'm sorry to interrupt. So then he. But I thought he.
Okay, well, no. So then what happened is, so they moved him to DH because they had Tristan Casas at first. And so they moved him to DH and he wanted to play the field. He was upset that they went behind his back, signed Bregman, and expected him to move to DH without telling him ahead of time. Something similar, I believe, happened with the Giants and Carlos Correa and Brandon Crawford.
But correct me if I'm wrong. He never played first base for the Boston Red Sox.
Never did.
No, he did not.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right. He did not. Yeah.
So the idea that whatever the caller is saying, that he switched to first base.
I think he meant to say switched to DH, not first base.
Voluntarily removed himself from being a potential Hall of Famer and decided to play first base. He never put on the glove. It was on the dirt.
No, I don't know if I would just. I kind of disagree with how Hank characterized that he gave up on the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's. I disagree with that characterization, though I see how he kind of came to that. I'm not trying to crush you there, Hank. But yeah, they moved him to the DH. They didn't tell him. Similar situation happened with Crawford and the Carlos Correa thing where they inked Correa to that deal, and the expectation was Crawford was going to move to third, and I think Brandon Crawford was like, okay, cool, that's news to me. And of course, you know, Carlos Correa's ankles had termites, and so they had to scuttle the whole deal, and everyone was mad. But then when the things where things really snapped with Rafi was when Casas got hurt and they said, well, now can you play first base? And that was when Rafi's like, you know, you'd stop moving me around. I'm out. Get me out of here. When you say it out loud like that, it all sounds petty and stupid. This is how it works, though, at the big league level. So let's keep going through these calls here. 888-957-9570.
One more thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You had a nugget on Rafi, and you also had a nugget on Dwayne Kuiper, right?
So Hank mentioned that Dwayne Kuiper was an announcer for the Rockies in 1993, and that's true. And the reason is, so Kuiper retired and then started doing games with Joe Morgan in the mid-80s. And then in 1993, the Giants were being sold by Bob Lurie, and Kuiper was under the impression that the Giants were moving to St. Petersburg, Florida. So he accepted another job with the newly implemented Colorado Rockies, thinking the Giants were not going to be in San Francisco anymore. And then Peter McGowan bought the team. They stayed. And Kuiper was like, well, crap. Like, what? Like, I'm in Colorado. He signed a 3-year deal with the Rockies, and he did the first season in Colorado. And then the Rockies were nice enough to let him out of the contract, and he came back to the Giants. And the rest is history. So that's why he was in Colorado for that 1 year.
And there you have
it. Insightful, Poss.
The legend was born. That's why he's a part of the team here.
See, Poss is not. Poss is not all just fun and games. He comes strong.
No, he brings fact. That's why I like having him.
Let's get to some
of
these callers
occasionally.
Yeah. Mike Kruko, that's the conversation. 888-957-9570. When I say Mike Kruko, you say what? Alejandro in San Francisco. What you got for us today, Alejandro? You're on the wrap.
Hey, how you doing, Sam? When I think of Mike Kruko, I think of a community. But before we're talking about Mike Kruko, I just wanted to, you guys were talking about former Giants players that we booed as fans, and it got me thinking, maybe you haven't heard this name in a while. His name was Armando Benitez.
Good call.
I remember as a kid, he would get booed so much the moment he got called in, just nonstop during his warm-up. So just wanted to throw that out there. But, yeah, going back to Mike Kruko, just wanted to, you know, due diligence. I'm from the 90s, so I don't know how it feels to listen to a Giants game without Mike Kruko. I want to say thank you to him, you know, for being part of our lives. He just brought this kind of like calmness to the game. He always had good perspectives, positive perspectives. You know, us as Giants fans, we've gone through a lot of tough seasons, but it always seems that he always found a positive spin out of it. And, you know, there's no, like you said, Sam, there's no Kruk without Kuiper. So, you know, just wishing him the best. And as a fan, you know, I'll miss him. It'll be weird, you know, not seeing him on the broadcast, but, you know, I know he's going to be well. And so I just want to leave off by saying, and if I could tell him one last message, would just be have a great retirement and grab some pie and meat. Thank you.
Oh, I love that. I'm sure he would appreciate that in that sense there. And again, we're thinking just our favorite, you know, Mike Kruko memories and stuff. And we're playing some of the calls here and some of the lines that he's had. And honestly, one of my low-key favorite Mike Kruko moments, like this is going back to 2013, I want to believe. This was the game in Wrigley Field where it started raining and they completely botched getting the tarp on the field. And Kruko lost his mind on the broadcast because he thought the Cubs did it on purpose. What year is that, 2013 or 2014?
2014, the World Series
that's
year.
That's right, yeah. And they needed that game, too, and so he lost his mind because he thought the Cubs did it on purpose.
And it was one of the few times in recent history that a team has won a protest.
Yeah, Giants protested that game. They replayed it. Giants won, got into the playoffs, won the World Series, and we all lived happily ever after. And I like to say it was because Kruko got angry on the broadcast. That's what started going.
One more call before the break?
Yeah, let's squeeze in our guy, S-K-I-L-L-Z, Skills and Voya. What do you got today, Skills?
Hey, I called in. I want to share some memories of the, because you asked for memories of Giants going on the wall today, but I also got a Kruko memory I could share.
Yeah, fire away.
All right, when I think about Mike Kruko, it's on the broadcast, oftentimes they would show the highlights from his playing career. And one of the highlights that we would show a lot was when he hit Dave Winfield, like in 1980, whenever it was. And Winfield, who was 6'6", 240, charged him out. Kruko stood his ground. He did not budge. He waited for Dave Winfield to come get him. Somebody, I think, intercepted Winfield, so they never actually collided. But just the fact that he was willing to stand up to a man that size, that mad, I have mad respect for him for that, let alone everything else he did on the air. But I want to share my memories from the five Giants going to the wall today. I'll try to go through them quickly. I know you got a break. Joe Panic, I remember the home run he hit off Kershaw. I believe that was 2017. The Giants won that game 1-0, and then Panic homered again the next night. It looked like he was on his way to great things. It didn't really pan out, unfortunately. Brandon Belt, MLB The Show. This may not really count, but for me, he's hit the farthest home run into McCovey Cove that I've ever hit in years and years of playing that game. It's actually ice out there. If you know that game, it's actually ice, not water. But he's hit the first ball into the ice that I've ever had. So that's my Brandon Belt memory. Brandon Crawford, there's only been four splash home runs, walk-off home runs hit at Oracle Park over the years. Bonds has one. Yastrzemski has two. Crawford has the other. He walked off the Rockies in 2014 with a splash home run. That's my memory of Crawford.
I remember that one, yeah.
Sandoval. Yeah, you remember that one probably. Yeah, Sandoval. And Sandoval, for him, is I've told the story on the air before about how one day Tim Lincecum hit Matt Kemp, and Matt Kemp was ready to start. Well, he started walking out towards the mound like he was going to do something to Lincecum. And Sandoval charged in 100 miles an hour, ready to spear Kemp if he had to. And that's my main Sandoval memory that I take away. And who's the last wall person that we're talking about?
Buster.
Who did we go through? Panic? I'm sorry, who?
Yeah, I get Buster.
Oh, yeah, Posey, of course. 2017, again, this is Strickland versus Harper. Harper gets hit by Strickland. Harper charges the mound. And Buster lets him go. Buster's like, I'm not dealing with this. I am not dealing with this. And that's my memories. I'll let you guys go. Thank you.
I believe I recall Hunter Strickland requested Buster not to get in the way on that one at some point. That's why Buster didn't do anything. Buster got some flack for that, actually. A lot of fans, shocker, fans mad at Buster Posey. Who'd have thought? Mitch, what's popping? We'll catch you on the other side. We'll also hear from Bruce Bochy on the other side. Mike Kruko. When I say Mike Kruko, Giants fans, you say what? 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text, and it's brought to you by Fairmont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Now back to the best Giants talk in the Bay, the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap on 95.7, The Game.
It's the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. It's a golden weekend for the Giants. Getting very nostalgic today on the wrap. Mike Kruko's calling it a career at the end of the season, and every broadcast he is on the rest of the way is going to be that much more special.
Who takes his place?
I can't even get it to that point yet. My guess right off the rip.
Don't say Hunter Pence.
I think Hunter Pence might be. Hunter Pence and Dwayne Kuiper, that's going to be an interesting combo there.
Well, nothing's going to work with Kuiper.
I mean, the obvious chance.
The
choice
bar's too high.
The obvious choice is going to be Kuiper and Flem. Flem, obviously, Dave, he can do both play-by-play and color. He's just that good.
But that's two play-by-play guys.
But Dave can do both.
They're going to have to find another quote-unquote personality.
I think Javi Lopez has done good on the broadcast. Yeah. I enjoy Sean Estes. So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, Pasta said the same thing. I find him really dry. I mean, he's good, but...
Listen, if you're going to sit there...
I really like Sean Estes. He's good.
Yeah, if you're going to sit there and say, you know, that whoever's next has to be on the level of Mike Kruko, you're going to be very disappointed. You're never recreating that. It's not happening.
No, I agree with that.
But again, it's going to be a different... I can't get it to that point where I'm thinking who's next beyond Kruko. I mean, we thought replacing Bruce Bochy was difficult. Like... This is even bigger than that.
Speaking Why don't you of, throw your hat into the ring?
And speaking of Bruce Bochy, I would never want those kind of expectations. Speaking of Bruce Bochy, we're going to hear from him in just a moment. I had a chance to catch up with Boach yesterday and talk a little bit about Mike Kruko and the Wall of Fame ceremony this weekend. So we'll hear from him in just a moment. It's a quick 4.5 minute conversation. I'm getting away from the long interviews this year, Dan, because I don't think the players really like me taking 20 minutes of their time. And I did. I was chatting with
Boach doing?
Boach seems to be doing good. Yeah. He seems to be doing good. You know,
right,
I mean, he's,
right.
You know, I kind of feel bad. I feel like he'd be answering the same Mike Kruko questions all weekend long. So hopefully I got him early in the process to where, you know, he wasn't being worn down by all the same questions. So,
hey, Pastor, do you want to share what it is that you told us earlier about the relationship between Kruk and Kipe?
Yeah, I think people just generally forget that they're best friends. Like, I mean, that it's kind of unprecedented, their relationship going from guys who played together, by the way, both outside San Francisco. And that
friends before they were teamed as broadcast.
They were teammates in San Francisco. They would call games on the bench, and both outside, not from the Bay Area. Kiper from the Midwest, Kruko from Southern California, and they're best friends. And that kind of fed into the relationship the last few years. And I think a lot of people, but Dwayne Kiper especially, wanted to delay this day from ever coming. And what I mean by that is the last few years, there has been instances where it's been harder for Kruko. He's got the muscle
deterioration.
Yeah. He basically cannot walk anymore. He's in a scooter, in a wheelchair scooter, and it's been harder for him. He started off only doing California games, and then he pretty much only did home games. And when Kruko was in his final years traveling, he was having trouble navigating through these ballparks, these older ballparks that aren't as accommodating as Oracle Park. And it was Dwayne Kiper who was the one that would kind of, you know, do some work ahead of time. For example, they went to Wrigley Field, and Kruko told Kiper and said, "Hey, how am I going to get around Wrigley Field? This is just it's a maze. It's an old ballpark. You got to take a, you know, staircase to get to the broadcast booth." And it was Dwayne Kiper who said, no, I got it covered. And there's a good ESPN article about this years ago. And he said, no, I got it covered. And Kiper organized for Kruko to get up to the booth, no issue. And the same thing goes for Oracle Park. When Oracle Park maybe wasn't as accommodating, no, it's fine. We got a ramp installed. No, it's fine. The Giants organization got you a scooter. So it's been Dwayne Kiper who I would even say afraid. I would even say he's kind of been afraid of this day for a while, and now it's here, and he's been trying to delay it by making sure Kruk doesn't get to the point of saying, "I can't do this anymore." And I think Kiper deserves a lot of credit with the way that he's navigated through this.
Anyway, Kipe walks away?
I don't know. I mean, he seems pretty steadfast that he wants to keep doing this. Those are two guys, and John Miller is in that same conversation too. I don't care how much you think they're slowing down or not as good as they used to be or anything like that. All three of those guys, and Dave too, but I think Dave's got at least another 50 years left in him. They decide when they're done. Like, if Kiper says, "Yeah, I got another 10 years in me," it's like, cool, you got another 10 years at you. Go for it. John Miller says that, "Yeah, I'm going to keep calling games for the next 20 years. John, called games for the next 20 years. Like, you've earned that right."
He called A's games.
Yeah, John Miller, called A's games back at the Coliseum back in the 1970s, and he was with the Orioles for a while, and he's another one. He's the voice synonymous with Giants baseball.
Speaking of impressions, he does an amazing Vin Scully. Amazing Vin Scully.
Two into the Harvey Keen.
I do want to get to calls in this Boachy thing a little bit, but Dan, you bring up, you brought up the impersonation here. And I guess now we have to talk about Steven Rizzotto's Dave Fleming impersonation now as our mini Dave Fleming here. And he actually, John Miller called in to Willard and Dibbs the other day, and Miller got a surprise conversation with Dave Fleming, sort of.
This is not Dave Fleming, but it might as well be with the next question for you here on this interview.
How you doing, John? Dave Fleming from San Francisco at the corner of 3rd and King from the Hawaiian Airlines broadcast booth. And I'm not here to tell you that Ruben Rivera missed second base, but I am here to ask you a question about the rest of the season for the 2026 Giants. And I want to know, what do you think is the outlook after the trade deadline, John?
Flem.
John.
Wow.
Oh,
great. And so, of course, we have Dave on the next day to talk about Mike Kruko. And it's like, well, Dave, before you go, you got to hear this impersonation.
Oh,
so
we're not going to do that again.
No. So we played it, and then this was Dave's reaction.
What do you give him? Five out of five?
What's that guy's name?
Steven Rizzotto.
What's that guy's name?
Steven Rizzotto.
Okay. I'll have to meet Steven someday. I'll have to meet Steven. Let's make that happen.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's the chat for me. And I'll whip up on too. Rizzotto for you.
Did he say talk to you guys soon?
I'm doing it.
He's going to get a stern talking to from Dave Fleming. Thanks, Dave.
So, yeah, Dave, don't worry. Later today, we'll be able to...
He was a little salty there, Fosta.
Little salty. Actually, the one that I did during the crossover was a little salty there. Thank you, John. The one during the crossover, I think, was the better Fleming.
You mean this one right here?
Welcome back at the quarter of third and King. Dave Fleming, John Miller in the broadcast booth, brought to you by Lazy Boy. Rafael Devers stands up to the plate. Casey Schmidt at first. Here's the pitch. Devers swings and drives one. Deep right center field towards the gap. This one is off the bricks. Schmidt around third. They're sending him. Here's the relay to the plate. He is out at the plate. And I don't know why they sent him. Hector Bourne came back for one day and got Schmidt thrown out of the plate. Oh, wow. And this game is over.
That's incredible. Oh, man.
Yeah. And you've got to be kidding me.
That is incredible.
Sam Lovett, book me on the roast tomorrow.
Dude, who is that going
on? I know I got a mention in there.
Is that Willard who's just lost it?
Sam Lovett. No, it was Willard. Yeah. Willard loves the Fleming. So it's strange because this is like blown up on my social media. My phone won't stop buzzing. And Justice De La Santa of the Mercury has been sending it around. And apparently it got to Brian Anderson, the play-by-play voice of the Brewers. Yeah. And he said he loved it. He's a close friend of Flem, apparently. But it's like, I do this every day around. Hey, Dan, good morning. And like, it's surprising that it's
that's
like caught
funny
on.
That Fleming would take it that way. Kind of reminds me of, you know, Frank Caliendo. Yeah. And Caliendo would do John Madden, and John Madden could not stand it.
Friend of the station, he's been on.
Well, I think, if you're the person getting impersonated, it doesn't hit the same. So, like, there was a day I like to think I could do a Willard laugh, you know, because Willard's got a very distinct laugh. He's got like a ah-ha, ah-ha. Yeah. We played it for him one day, and he's like, no, that's not my laugh at all. And so they played during a crossover, and you go back, you look at the clip, Evan was in for Steiny that day. And when Evan heard it, Evan just has like this, what the heck, kind of like look on his face. I just think, when you are the person getting impersonated, I don't know if it hits the same. And also, you know, we
got to have a sense of humor there, Flem.
Dan Devone here with...
Well, that sucks.
Bye, Felisa.
It does not suck. Evan Giddings, the strapping young 32-year-old.
Your Dave's a little bit better there, Risotto.
All right.
We're gonna hear from Bruce Bochy. Oh God!
All right, give him a moment.
Hey, Bruce.
No,
that didn't work.
All righty, Mitch, what's popping?
Hey, you guys are doing?
What's popping?
How you doing, Sam? Dan?
We're good, Mitch. Crying. How you doing?
You guys are doing invitation? Good. Is Rizzotto gonna do a good invitation to me? Because I love to hear it.
Come on. Do one? You got one? Up your sleeve there.
See what you got, Rizzo.
Yeah, hey, Mitch. Bob is a really good ball player. Yeah, he's a good ball player. Hits the ball hard. Home runs all the time.
What do you think, Mitch?
Sounds like Marty. How you guys doing? Well, first of all, you stuck with Adamus and Devers especially. We really stuck with him. I think he's wrong. Whoever says that the first baseman has the least amount of Hall of Famers, there's so many good first basemen.
No, he's a third baseman.
Yeah, third baseman with that.
Oh, the hot corner. So he wants... I thought I heard first base. I don't think they have too many DHs because he's only been around since 72. Thank God we have DH. Eldridge. bring up, let's see what we have in the minors, and Derek Cohen and Encarnacion, but I said that already. Two guys that I mentioned last year, Bo and Josh, they're having bad years. And two guys that you mentioned, they're going, I guess, to retire their numbers, besides being honored, I suppose, Belt and Pablo. Pablo, I'm jealous. I guess he can eat whatever he wants. And Belt, that's a perfect name for baseball. Belt. Brandon Belt.
Mitch, what do you got on my Kruko?
Yeah, Chef, hold on. Kruko, oh, it just reminds me of him just getting old because I remember those guys playing. Thanks. I'm getting old. I'm just hanging behind Kruko. Hey,
can you give us give us an impersonation of anybody?
No, I can't.
You do a Richie and Queens?
Richie and Queens.
Oh, that's a pretty good one right there.
I love the New York accent, but I love the New York accent. Don't forget, I mean, the East Coast is the best coast, but I'm judging you guys. Sports, you're living out there and chewing out here. I'll take 16 August in San Francisco any day over the weather here that we have now.
That you are absolutely right there on, Mitch. Thanks for calling in here. We're going to hear from Bruce Bochy in a minute, but I do want to give to Andy in Sonoma as well. Andy, Mike Kruko talked about you on the broadcast. Okay, let's hear that braggadocious story.
Well, first of all, thanks for taking my call. I've been going to baseball games for 60 years or so and had never caught a ball. Went to a game probably 5 years ago. A good friend had gotten us some great field-level seats, and we were talking about catching a ball. I brought my glove. And had mentioned to the woman next to me that she had to be ready for a ball hitting off the facade, and that's exactly what happened. It off the facade above us, dropped down right into my glove. Guy behind me said, "Hey, you're on TV." And they didn't get the catch, but the camera panned over, and Kite said, "Hey, did Fan make a play?" Brought his glove, and Krug said, "You still got it, Grandpa? Atta babe." And some of my friends were, you know, a little pissed off on my behalf, but I was 65 years old, so I could be a grandpa. And, you know, catching the ball was a thrill, but being talked about, particularly by Krug, was just as special as it gets. And I still have a recording of that. Watched it a couple of days ago in honor of Krug. He's been a great broadcaster. The two of them are as good as it gets. And I've been watching baseball since I was a kid in New York. We will miss him.
Thank you, Andy. That's a great story there. And hey, you got the ball. And it says, it's a great line here from 669. Bring your glove, get a ball. That's a Mike Krukoism right there.
Did you ever have a conversation with him?
Kruko, I don't think I had a chance to bump into him yet. It's okay. There's a part of it, and it's going to make me sound like a loser, but there is a little intimidation factor to it. Because, like, when you see guys who you grew up just idolizing, there is a little bit of like a, you do get shy going up to approach them. I'm trying to get him to come on the roast Monday. But this is one of those things, like, you know what? I just need to grow up and just go and say what's up to him. You know, that's my own personal battle. But
surprised that usually does not stop one Sam Loveman.
You'd be surprised, Dan. But no, it's also, there are times like when I see, like a lot of times I'll see him in the press dining room where he's, you know, eating with, you know, Kype and Flem and John. And like, you know, I'm not going to go bothering them. The men, they're eating and doing their thing and stuff like that. So it's just, it's been trying to find the right moment. You don't always see him. And then there's a little bit of like, you know, maybe I just need to, you know, just man up and do it.
People forget he was a hell of a player too.
Yeah, no, he's good. He was an all-star in 87, I want to believe.
Former then, Cub, former Philly, obviously former Giant.
20-game winner.
He did win 20 games. With again, Giants, I believe that was in that 87 season is when he won those 20 games.
That was Roger Craig, and they went to the playoffs that year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Jeff Leonard's one flap down series against the Cardinals. And, you know, we were earlier in the show, Dan, we were talking about, you know, the Giants trade deadline. And, you know, good trades the Giants have made. And it's a trade that doesn't get talked about a lot. Al Holland and Joe Morgan, this trade was made, I want to say, in 1983, I want to believe. One of the most significant trades in Giants history. That is the trade. Al Holland, Joe Morgan brought in Mark Davis, C.L. Penegar, and one Mike Kruko. And when we talk about trades having value, wow. I always say, like, Major League Baseball
so
trades, the
Hall
value.
Went to the Phillies.
Yes. Yeah, I believe that. No, was this the Phillies or the Cubs with this trade? Neither here nor there. That was a trade that brought Mike Kruko to the Giants. And I always say, you know, we talk about the greatest trades in franchise history. Like, that is one of them. because can you imagine this organization without that voice? And so it's, you know, baseball trades, they can have so much value in so many different ways. So, you know, maybe Henry Lalanne will be a great broadcaster someday, and I'm going to call you up and be like, Dan, you see, this is why you had to get rid of Elliot Ramos that one time. All right.
Wait, really quick, you mentioned Joe Morgan, and we're talking about great broadcasting teams. Let's not forget Joe Morgan and John Miller, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Awesome tandem. Played off each other so well and had a remarkable run. And people have a tendency to forget because he's been an institution with the Giants for so long, but John Miller was an institution in front of the country with Joe Morgan.
Yeah.
And they were a remarkable tandem. It's not easy to pair two guys who just fit like a glove. You
know? No, I mean, that's why I don't even want to think about what's going to be next with Kruk and Kipe, because, again, you talk about just great broadcasting duos. And we see some good ones today, obviously, Kruk and Kipe in the NFL. You know, we had Joe Buck on the morning roast yesterday. Him and Troy Aikman are incredible together.
Summer, you know, all Madden.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to have that kind of chemistry. You know, I mean, not everyone can be as in sync as you and I are, Dan, on this show every Saturday morning. No, it took us a minute to get there, but I think we do pretty well for ourselves now.
It's going
to
be like the last few seasons of The Office.
I never really got into The Office. Is that when after Steve Carell left and they had like a cycle of new Michael Scotts?
That's the vibe I'm getting from this whole thing.
Yeah, or like Two and a Half Men when Charlie Sheen left.
Oh, that was terrible.
Oh, I soldiered through those four seasons. That was rough. All right, before we go to the break in a few minutes, I teased it. I'm trying to get better at paying off my teases. I had a conversation with Bruce Bochy yesterday. He's in town for the Wall of Fame ceremony, and, you know, Boch is there. You know, Boch, I can go up and then I'll say something, too. So now I have no excuse. I got to go say something to Kruko.
Right.
But thank you, Boch. And
I'll say he's an idiot.
You know, and that's what Boch said to me after he got done with the interview. He said, Lumren's an idiot. No, you didn't say that. But anyway, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, here's my conversation with Bruce Bochy about Mike Kruko, and of course, you know, I had to throw in a Wall of Fame question as well.
Bruce, when you heard the news that Kruko was calling it a career, just what was your first reaction when you heard that?
Well, I think like everybody, I was stunned. I was shocked. I've been listening to him. You know, when I manage, I didn't get a chance to listen to Kruk and Kipe, and I have a deeper appreciation of how good they are, man. They're incredible. And he hadn't lost a beat. He'd been doing a great job, and so easy to listen to. He and Kipe, and they're entertaining. People love them. And so for him to announce this, I was sad. I really was, but I'm happy for he and Jennifer. As they enter this next chapter in life. But I mean, what a career he's had. He embodies what Forever Giant is. He played for the Giants, had a great career for him, played Candlestick here, incredible announcer. He'll be going in the Hall of Fame. So very, very happy for him and what he did in his career, and now that he's going to step down and have more time with the family.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned him going to the Hall of Fame. Of course, everyone wants to see him and Kipe go in together. That would be really great to see. Just what made their partnership special in your eyes?
Yeah, just the chemistry between those two. They knew what the other was thinking. They fed off each other so well, and they knew when not to say something or when to lighten things up, bring some humor to it, or educate you. You know, they're so good at it, and that's why they're so beloved here. I mean, they really connected the team to the fans, and that's what great announcers do, and that's why I have such a deep appreciation how good they are.
Yeah. So Kruko is known for his Krukoisms. He always had something he could say that could bring a smile out of people. Just what's a line or a phrase that he had that maybe he dropped on you or that you heard that just really stood out to you?
Well, I'm old school, kind of like him, I guess. And when he came out that grab some pine meat, that's just classic. That's one that sticks with you. Now, what I do remember is when I came up here in 2007, and he had this handshake that the Giants, if you're a Giant, is how you shake hands. And you leave the little pinky out and shake the hands. And every time I saw him, he made sure I did that because sometimes I'd forget. And he goes, no, this way. And so he played a part in the culture of San Francisco Giants by things like this, talking about family, we're family. And that played a huge role in the players that come up here and realize what the Giants are about.
Do you remember what it was like meeting him when you met him?
Well, I met him when it came. Well, I know I had to talk to him when I was managing against the Giants. He'd come by. I don't remember the first time, but always enjoy talking to him. I really respected, you know, what he did on the field. You know, I get to play against him a little bit, and also you know, I'd heard how good you know he and Kai were, and so yeah, it was a pleasure to spend 13 years with him. He and Kai had a great knack of knowing when I needed to be picked up a little bit. You know, tough series, and they could see me in that front seat, and they found a way to, you know, put some humor in it, or Kite would put his hand on my shoulder, show me that World Series ring, and they'd get me out of those doldrums, and I'd be in a better mood.
So you mentioned the World Series ring. We're going to be honoring 5 World Series legends this weekend with Wall of Fame, Pablo, Joe, the Brandons, Buster. Just how excited are you to see everyone together again? Is there someone who you're very excited to see this weekend who's going to be in town?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see all of them together. I mean, they've meant so much to our club, and not just what they did on the field, but in that clubhouse. All great character guys, all a little different personality. You had Pablo with all that energy, and you had the calmness of Joe Panic, the steadiness, and, of course, the elite defense like Crawford and Belch humor, and, of course, Buster, the leader of the club, who made everybody better around him. Looking forward to seeing them all, and a lot of coaches that are coming in, a lot of other players. It's been a while since I've seen a lot of these guys.
Appreciate you, Bruce.
You got it. My pleasure.
All right, so that was my conversation with Bruce Bochy there. And again, it was a very nice conversation to have with Boch, and it's cool being able to kind of catch up with him and talk about Mike Kruko, you know, calling it a career there. And again, we're going to play some other stories as well. We got a John Miller story we're going to play. We got a Dave Fleming story we're going to play. We're going to play a bunch of other Mike Kruko highlights, moments, calls as well. And some of those calls are going to be some notable Giants moments as well during this last hour here. Because, again, we got 5 guys going on the Wall of Fame today. Pablo Sandoval, the Brandons, Belton Crawford, Joe Panic, Buster Posey. There's certain plays, obviously, that stand out with all those guys. So we'll play those highlights on the other side as well. We're having a big nostalgia day here on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap, talking Giants baseball. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Mike Kruko, Giants Wall of Famers, anything from the past, that's what we're doing today. We are living in the past today, folks. That is what we're doing on the Orange and Black Weekend Wrap. More Kruko talk, more fun Giants talk coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.